And so I was due to preach next Sunday, and Olwyn was due to preach this Sunday. And what we're going to do is, I sort of messaged him last minute and said, would we be able to swap it around? So I'm going to do John 10, verses 11 to 21. And then next week, Olwyn is going to do John 10, verses 1 to 10. So I hope that doesn't confuse too many people here next week. Olwyn sort of mentioned what he's going to say, and I'm going to do my level best not to kind of like steal all his points. Or I could just give his sermon and like make him have to do all his research again, but I'm not that mean. So okay, so the passage is John 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man demon-possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So, in this sermon, there's going to be basically two basic parts. First of all, I'm going to talk about what it is to be a shepherd. I'm going to talk about what it's like to be a bad shepherd first, and then what's Jesus like as the good shepherd. And then we're going to talk about how Jesus knows us, his sheep, and how even though he knows us as his sheep, and he might know the ways will wander and the ways will stray away from him, he still lays down his life for us, despite that. So first, a shepherd. So being a shepherd back in those days particularly could be quite dangerous. In this passage, it mentions wolves and thieves. So wolves obviously wanting to eat the sheep, nice tasty sheep, big sharp teeth, claws. And the only person standing in the way is this poor shepherd, usually by himself on a field. And we've got to remember that David, in the Old Testament, had to face lions and bears. It says he fought them away with his sling. So, on the one hand, you're kind of by yourself in sort of like kind of quite wild places looking for places for your sheep to eat. And then you don't know what's lurking. There are sort of wolves, sharp teeth lurking beneath trees or stones. They want to attack you. They want to basically devour the sheep. And there are thieves who just want to get you out of the way. It's, you know, the middle of nowhere. They'll probably get away with it if they want to. So it's extremely dangerous to be a shepherd. You're by yourself. You've got sheep, which are kind of pretty defenseless. They don't really have any defenses against a wolf or a thief. And you're there alone. Now, I've got to admit, I was thinking about this, just thinking about, you know, these snarling wolves looking for the sheep, tasty sheep, you know, almost like salivating with the, you know, with the thought of munching into them. And thinking of you, the shepherd, probably quite young, probably a young lad, standing in the way of that wolf and those sheep. Saying, "Oh man, even if I own the sheep, I'd be like, see you later, guys. Good luck. So like disappearing over the mountains of, see you later, sheep. I think it'd be absolutely terrifying to be in that situation where you know that you yourself are in physical danger. It'd be quite easy to be that bad shepherd, that hired hand that runs away. I was thinking about times that we're in, well, that, you know, I might have been, or people around me might have been in that kind of physical danger. And I had to think a long way back to kind of school days. Now, I don't know if you guys actually had this at school, but there'd always be this group of kind of like the hard kids. So they're the kind of like rough kids that, you know, somebody would throw something. And this is when, you know, especially when I was little and younger, somebody would throw something. Be like, who threw that? And you see who it was and be like, keep my head down here, it's all right, you know. I remember one time in particular, there's this lad called Lee Smith. And he had like this group of really tight-knit friends. And I think I can't remember if he kicked a football or he threw something, just messing around. And it missed whoever it was supposed to get to and hit this girl. And it turned out this girl had a brother who was one of those like hard kids. And she basically went and told her brother, and suddenly everyone was like, Lee Smith is going to get battered. Lee Smith is going to get filled in at lunchtime. And it was really strange because all his friends, you know, they're quite a tight-knit group. All his friends were kind of like, she's going to have to take the beating. You know, there's nothing for it, you know. He kicked the ball and it hit that girl. You know, he was one of the hard kids' sisters. He's going to have to take the beating. And it kind of like everyone just accepted, you know, he was going to have to take this beating. I remember thinking, oh man, like, those are your mates? And they weren't going to back him up. They were just like the scared kind of shepherd, like the bad shepherd running away. They were just like, you know. And in the end, it was okay. What happened was, I think the kind of bully kind of cornered him and said, you can either fight or just let me have one punch. And he was like, you can have the one punch. And apparently the bully just sort of like went like that, and sort of that was that. So it worked out okay in the end. But I just thought, man, that's so sad that his friends, who could have backed him up at school, just proper fled and just left him at the mercy of this kind of like hard bully kid. And I was thinking, well, actually, it's not necessarily in a physical way that we can encounter bad shepherds. I was thinking about, there's a film called Magnolia. I don't know if any of you have seen it. A very powerful film. I was going to show a clip from it, but I rewatched it. There's actually quite a lot of bad language in it. So I'm going to mention the film and say it is a good film, but with the caveat that it is kind of a very adult film. So, you know, if you go and watch it, just be prepared for some, you know, there is some bad language. It's quite a serious film as well. But there's this guy that Tom Cruise plays. I can't remember his name. He plays this kind of character. He's a pickup artist. And he's kind of like going to these conferences and telling these sort of guys like, oh, you know, this is how to pick up women. This is how to kind of lure them into, you know, basically into bed. Quite a crude character, kind of like a bit of a low, you know, you're somebody that you watch him and he's not somebody you're drawn to. You think he's a bit, you know, this is a really dodgy character. And he's being interviewed later in the film, and this woman sort of asking him questions, and she just touches on his parents, and he sort of gets quite tetchy and doesn't really like it, sort of closes off. And she sort of suggests that he might actually be misleading people about his parents. Sort of, no, that's it, interview's over. He'd been kind of like really sort of laddish and kind of confident, and that was kind of the end. It was kind of an awkward interview. Anyway, later on, it transpires that his father is critically ill in bed at his house. And his carer kind of tries to arrange a meeting between Tom Cruise, the son, and this estranged father. And Tom Cruise reluctantly goes there, like, you know, really in an emotional state, and kind of confronts his father when his father's on his deathbed. And it basically transpired that what happened was, in the story, that Tom Cruise was the son of, obviously, his mother and his father, and his mother contracted cancer, and his father fled. He got scared and ran away. So he's the bad shepherd, and Tom Cruise, just this emotional, kind of real emotional sort of thing that he just had built up his whole life, just floods out in this, I mean, quite a powerful scene, and Tom Cruise, don't know the views of him as an actor, but in this scene, he's absolutely immense. You really feel his anguish over his father, who was the bad shepherd in that incident. So, we've seen the bad shepherd, but Jesus promises this. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I sheep. No matter what's coming, wolves, thieves, demonic powers, they come after wanting to tear us, the sheep, to pieces, and Jesus is there standing in the way, standing his ground. Nothing can scare him away from holding fast to us. And I was reminded of, if you've seen the film Lord of the Rings, there's one scene in particular, a really short scene, where it's the third film, and there's this gate that's being battered down by these kind of like horrible forces of Mordor. And Gandalf sort of says to the troops, he's like, I want to remind you, you're all men of Gondor. No matter what comes through that gate, you will stand your ground. And literally the gates kind of burst open, and these sort of all hell breaks loose. It's like these trolls and goblins, they all come with hammers, axes, come straight at these men. There's obviously this huge battle. Jesus is that man, that shepherd that stands fast from the literal powers of hell. He stands fast and stands his ground against those demonic forces, against those thieves, against those wolves. And it's not just people that can be our bad shepherds. Often we invest a lot of ourselves in kind of philosophies and ideas and beliefs that aren't going to amount to much. It's not just people that will flee away from us, it's when the bad times come. It can actually be, you know, a lot of people invest a lot of time in making themselves happy, making themselves just have a comfortable life. When the hard times come, that hedonism, that kind of philosophy of just making yourselves happy, that being your main aim in life, will just evaporate, that will go. And at the end of it, Jesus will be standing fast. I was reminded of something Andrew White said when he came here. And I didn't realise he's actually quoting quite a remarkable woman that I only found out about this morning when I actually looked up the quote. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. So I think she's a Dutch woman. I know nothing about her, but kind of want to go home and look her up because she sounds quite incredible. But she was basically... The Jews were being rounded up by the Nazis in the Netherlands, and her and her family kind of held fast to their Christian values and sheltered these Jews, and they are discovered and they're put in a concentration camp. And she says, you may not realise that Jesus is all you have until Jesus is all you have left. I'll read that again because it's slightly wrong. You may never realise that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have left. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, all you need. When all else falls away in the face of danger, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who stands firm and lays down his life for his sheep. Okay, so then we're going to talk about the sheep. Now, I grew up in Birmingham, kind of fairly inner city Birmingham, not inner city, sort of, you know, but don't know a great deal about sheep. I've got two kind of really firm memories of them. So the first was when I was about sort of 13, 14. We went on this kind of weekend away. It was a bit longer than the weekend away. It was with school. We went away to Wales and sort of climbed mountains and did rafting and all this stuff. It was brilliant fun. But I remember it's obviously Snowdonia. There's loads of sheep around. And one of my teachers was looking at these lambs. He said, you know, sir, these lambs are actually quite cute. Who would have thought they'd grow into those stupid, ugly, smelly creatures? I was like, oh, fair enough, you know. And then my next memory of sheep is I actually got to know a sheep farmer. So when I was in Newcastle, I played rugby with a guy who was a sheep farmer. And I tell you something, he was the strongest man in that team by quite some way. He was so strong. He had true farmer strength. And he never went to the gym. Like, I mean, he might have gone to the gym. I might be sort of slurring in there. But he wasn't gym strong. He wasn't somebody that sort of like went in and sort of took all this. Literally, he was strong because he spent his days, day in, day out, just wrestling with these sheep. These stubborn, stupid sheep. Like, you know, they're having to wrestle them into the sheep dip. All you want to do is sort of cure them of their parasites and make them not get ill later. He was having to proper fight them to get them in there, only for their own good. To shear them, so they're not going to be boiling hot in summer. You know, have to proper hold them down and shear them. And then, probably one of the most annoying things, I never actually spoke to him about this, but probably would have happened, is, you know, then sheep wander off. You know, you've got them in a herd, and suddenly they just wander off, and he's got to jump on the quad bike and fetch it. Jesus tells a great parable about the shepherd that goes after that one sheep. You can imagine it's a lot worse when you don't have a quad bike. You see a sheep wandering off. It's like, I've got to walk all the way over there to fetch that one sheep. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. But the thing is, Jesus, in the passage, Jesus says, he knows us. So he knows us as the shepherd. And he also knows God. And he knows us and he still goes through with this laying down of his life. We are prone to wandering. We're prone to going astray like that one sheep. We're prone to being stubborn when we need to accept Jesus. And we're prone to, just being a pain in the neck, quite frankly, when it comes to taking away our sins and living the life that Jesus wants us to live. Jesus knows this. He knows his sheep intimately well. And he still goes through with the laying down of his life for us. I think it's quite powerful, really, that when it talks about the hired hand, is there just for the money, but this shepherd, the good shepherd, owns the sheep. And so when Jesus lays down his life or puts himself in the way of those wolves and those sheep, there's a kind of sense of real desperation for those creatures. You know, he relies on them. He needs them for his income. If those sheep die, then he's in real dire straits. So there's that desperation of Jesus who puts himself in the way. Even though he knows our faults and knows our weaknesses, he puts himself in between those wolves, those thieves, those powers of hell, and that helpless flock. Jesus really enters into that mess. He knows what it's going to be like. He enters into that mess for us. So Jesus lays down his life freely. Now it talks about God knowing, and Jesus knows God. And what that's talking about is we're imperfect, we're sinful. There's that block between us and God. We're imperfect and we can't recapture that image of God, because if once you become imperfect, how do you come to imperfection? It doesn't make sense. How do you aspire to holiness and perfection when you yourself are unholy and imperfect? So what God does is he sends Jesus Christ, his son, who knows the Father and could come to earth and know the sheep. He acts as that bridge over the sin between us and God so that we can rebuild that relationship. And he knows it's going to be messy. We're talking to Alwyn earlier, and he comes into this messy stable with, you know, smelly farm animals in the Gospels. He doesn't come into some palace, some high up, you know, really wonderful sort of, I mean, you know, marble floors and all this sort of thing. No, a stable. He spends his life in Palestine wandering around like kind of despised by people. And then ultimately it comes to the crucifixion where he lays down his life. He doesn't spare himself from any suffering. He's in real anguish in Gethsemane. He experiences what it's like to have his friends run away from him. He's whipped, he's beaten, and he dies this agonizing death on the cross where he cries at the very end, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he does all this for us. He knows us and he wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants to bring us into that sheepfold. Ultimately, he lays down his life so that he can take it up again with us. And as his followers, we can become a part of that. We can take up our lives with Jesus. We can take up these lives we don't really deserve with him through the resurrection. Paul in Romans 5 verse 7, find the passage, basically says, very rarely will someone die for a righteous man, but God shows his love for us that even while we are sinners, he laid down his life for us. And so with that in mind, just before we close, I'd like to just, everyone, if they're okay, to bow their heads in prayer. Now, it's kind of going to be a very personal prayer, so please don't say it out loud, just say it in your minds. It may be the first time you've said a prayer like this. It may for you be reaffirming it. But I'd like you to bow your heads in prayer as we pray to Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Lord God, thank you for being our Good Shepherd. Thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for exposing yourself to your enemies for our sake. Lord, I'm sorry when I'm stubborn. I'm sorry when I wander astray. I pray that now, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and I thank you for the life everlasting you promise. Thank you for your never-failing love for us. Amen.